That's just going to fit right in with what the Lord is going to be saying this morning. Amen. Amen. Why are you not an overcomer? Why are you an overcomer? Because He overcame. See, He's made you an overcomer. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. You got to decree a thing. You got to declare a thing. When the prophet says something, you got to agree with what God has said, and then you do it. Sometimes it's in the saying, but a lot of time the saying's good, but you got to step out there and do it. Amen. Amen. You got to bring your tithes and offerings to the storehouse, to His storehouse. Yes. Amen. When I was younger. Amen. When I was younger, who needs this mic? Somebody need this mic? Yeah. David said, "I've been young."
Now I'm old.
No, did he say, "I've been old, but now I'm young"? He didn't reverse it, did he? "I've been young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen
righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread."
So you're not a beggar, you're a believer. Amen. We believe a thing. We believe a God that says you don't have to be poor no more.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have, now you can stay in poverty. That's our choice. But Jesus said He came and He cut a new covenant with us.
Yes.
Anybody, money is not what makes you poor. It's your thinking that makes you poor. My mind, before Christ, I was poor. See, it's the gospel. It's the good news that gets you out of poverty.
Yes.
See, you got to change what you think to what God says. See, God don't think, He says. He knows His mind's made up. He don't change His mind. When He says something, it's done.
Amen.
It's finished, Amen. Jesus said. It's finished. Amen. Jesus knew the start from the beginning. He knew the beginning from the end. He knew everything. He knew where you was going to start being born again, and He knows where we're going to finish our race.
Yes.
Now, He doesn't tell us what day. That's up to you. Life and death is in the power of our tongue. Now, there's a day He's coming back, whether we go by the grave or we go by the rapture.
Yes.
Now, that's God's plan there. We can't change that, but we can change our destiny by the words that we say.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen?
And just by your giving is not how you make your living. No. That's how you make your living. Out here working is not how you make your living. It's your giving that determines how you make your living.
Yes.
Amen? Because, see, that job is not your source. God's your source.
Amen.
And if you plug into that, you're going to be limited in every area of your life. But definitely in your finances, because God can do better. The thing He has, each one, I'm talking to everybody in here. What you think you're doing, God says it's bigger. It's bigger. Jesus said nets. Peter heard net. He had an image problem. He knew about fishing, and he knew he never got those nets full. He was stuck in net. He knew it was a lot of work to clean up the nets, but it's not as much work if I clean up the net. See, he wasn't expecting like Jesus was. Jesus knows where the fish are. Jesus knows where your promotion is.
Yes.
And He's trying to bump you there. And how do you get there? I'm an overcomer. I listen to Him. I got to get in His Word to hear Him. Because
yes.
You can't hear God in the world.
Right.
You can't hear Him in the world. I was up at 4 o'clock this morning. I got up and had me a cup of coffee and a piece of cake. I know that ain't healthy, but I needed some sugar, I guess. Hey, when God wakes you up, you might as well just get up and get you a cup of coffee and take a piece of cake. But I lay back and slept for another 2 hours after that. See, don't think coffee will keep you up, because the Word can put you to sleep. It'll overtake all those side effects. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And what I was just reading, I didn't make no outline for why I'm going to preach to you today, but I just need to get a little bit more Word in me and then go to sleep. And then get up and be God's messenger boy. Amen. Now, I was talking about when I was young. I haven't forgot about that. Some of you think, are y'all still there when I was talking about when I was young? Did you wonder if I was ever going to get back there? When I grew up, I liked to go to the candy store. And down in Mooresville, it's called the Mill Hill, because it was not Cannon Mills. It was Burlington Mills. That's where they made jeans, Wranglers. And that's back when we had America was being great, because we was taking our gifts and the talents and abilities and putting it here and not just letting the world buy it over here. But we can go back to that. But see, those meals left because, hey, they go find somewhere. See, the world's always looking for a better deal, but God says, I want the real deal.
Amen.
He wants his people being blessed here.
Yeah.
And that, so the meal left, but now it's a big furniture place. So, hey, it's still being a nice big place, and somebody can get there and get a job. But when I was growing up, it was the Mill Hill, and there was a store called Young Store, Miss Young Store. And I can remember going there. I didn't have a lot of money, but Mom gave me something. I got some money. I probably found pennies on the street. But I remember, you know, Mom was good. She'd give me some money. Mama would give me some money. And that's when the old Coke machines that were metal, you had a slide, and you had to put your money in, and you pull it as a bottle. It wasn't no can. And then Miss Young, she had to go in there, and had a big total. It's like an aquarium was her cash register. You know, you have a big brown trim, but glass, and everything was underneath that. You could see the candy was right there. I was a little old fella. Miss Young, she was short, but to me, she was big. But she's gray hair, white hair. But always get me some Mary Janes and Fireballs and Lemon Heads and all these good old candy. And see, my teeth, I didn't brush good, so my dentist really enjoyed 10 years ago me going to Miss Young's store because he had to work on my teeth. But I remember that. I remember that was fun. That was going there. And as a child, see, you don't think about all these bills and all these things that we kind of get caught up in the world. Just a child, Jesus said, a child shall lead them. See, because a child, when I this morning at 4 o'clock, I was waking up and I just put my fingers in my ears because I was hearing things. I heard the dog barking, the neighbor, and I was like, I just put my fingers in my ears. And then I could hear, it's like, you ever take a seashell and you put it up to your ear and it's like, whoo. I'm like, well, man, I still hear things, but it's like, whoo. I said, well, I don't want to hear that, so I take my fingers out. And then I could hear things differently. But see, that's not how we hear God. See, I was just testing my ears. But see, that ain't where you hear from God. You don't, that's your natural ears. You hear God in your heart. See, I just couldn't sleep. I got to see God was speaking to me in my heart. And I got up and I had to go back to the Word. And that's where you're going to get you. That's where your life is. It's in the Word. Amen? It's in the Word. So let me get, we're going to John chapter 21. Because what we just shared a little bit on the offering had to do with those fishermen. Now this is after Jesus has already been resurrected and he's already showed himself to his disciples. He's already walked through walls and, you know, Thomas wasn't there. He showed himself to the disciples and Thomas said, I mean, the other boys, they were excited because they seen Jesus walk through the wall. Randy, the doors were locked, but Jesus, he don't need no key. He's different now. Before, he was knocking. But after the resurrection, he's walking through the doors. He's walking through the walls. Amen.
Yes.
That's the body we're going to get, Brenda. That can just transition into mortar and go right through it.
Yeah.
Hey, if you can't believe that, you better get in the Word. Because God, he created this earth out of dirt. Amen. We're just dirt until he breathed into his life, his image into us, his power into us, and then all that dirt started coming together and just alive. He brought it alive. So if he can bring dirt alive, he can bring you through a wall. That's the body you're going to get. Now before that, you couldn't. I mean, you were subjected to the earth and just the way it was made. But Jesus, he's different. We're different now once we get born again. Now we can't walk through walls right now. Don't go out there and try to walk through no wall. You ain't got your glorified body yet. And you'll come back and tell us a story. I needed me a hard hat. That didn't work. I was there and I lost place. I just had to go to the computer. John chapter 21. After these things, that's the things Jesus had been appearing to his disciples. Walking through walls, sitting down, still eating with them. You could still touch his body, but it was different. And after these things, Jesus manifest himself. Now I'm gonna get back over to the King James Version here. Let me get back up there. And he showed himself again to the disciples at the sea. It says Tiberias, but it's the Sea of Galilee. Same sea. And this is how he showed himself. They were gathered together. Here's, there's seven of them together. How many apostles were they? 12 minus one, because he hung himself because he betrayed the Lord. Went into torment. The devil started. Well, you let the devil possess your body, he'll torment you. And that's where a lot of our young, now, it don't have to just be young. Ruthie, she just lost a friend at school because of this stuff. Because letting your body be possessed by the devil, he ain't out there to hurt you. He's out there to kill you. And her brother is in Rowan's class. Just lost a, she was how old, what, 15, 16, 17 years old? And took a lot of drugs, wanted to get out of this world, and then came back. They revived her, got all that out of her, and she'd actually told the people that she really didn't want to die. She really didn't want to die. She was just going through some issues, and then had a seizure a day or two later and died. She's still in the hospital, but she didn't get out of that. But, you know, hoping she knew Jesus, because, you know, yes, if she knew Jesus, she is in a better place, but that wasn't God's will for her to check out of here. But see, the devil's out to steal and kill people, God's people, anybody. So here's Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, there's seven of them, and of Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, which was James and John, and two other disciples. And Simon Peter said, Lewis, I'm going fishing. See, they're still waiting on Jesus. Jesus said, wait. We learned about the gifts of the Spirit over here. We don't have to tarry no more. But Jesus said, tarry, wait here in Jerusalem. The Father's sending another gift. They didn't understand all what was going to happen. See, Jesus don't need to tell you everything. Just do what he told you. Wait. If Jesus said, wait, I'd wait. You've been around. These guys have been around Jesus in the ministry for over 3 years now. They knew the value of his word. They just couldn't understand it yet. So they were waiting. And through this process, you know, if you used to like to go fishing, that's how you made your money. You went to work. So they're just out here waiting. Jesus said, wait, but we got to do something while we're waiting. You don't have to, but a lot of times we do. Our body's got to do something. When God says, wait, the flesh don't want to wait. So they're out here, and Peter says, hey, Jesus said, wait, but I'm going fishing. I'm going to be doing something. It's good to be productive. Do something. And he just started a chain reaction. Peter said, I'm going fishing. They said, hey, we're going too. Let us get our rods or nets. They don't have to have rods back in. We're going fishing too. Sound like a good idea. Somebody got some biscuits, and they're going to take the food. They're going fishing, because when they go fishing, it's all night fishing. So they went forth, and they entered a ship immediately, and it wasn't good. It's kind of like same old. They didn't catch a thing. I'm sure there were some good fish stories being told, though, while they were out there fishing. They didn't catch nothing, Frankie, but they're talking about how many fish they're going to catch, or talking about how many fish they caught last time, and they hadn't caught nothing yet. They're probably reminiscing. You know, all night, 8-10 hours fishing with seven of your buddies, fill in the blanks. I mean, you talk about some stuff, right? Talking about some things. Now, when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. Standing out there, sunrise, and the sun is on the shore. Ain't that an awesome picture? And Jesus said to them, children, have you any meat? That children is, I'm talking about immature Christians. He's talking about not adults. Children, so that's probably kind of, how would you say that? Antagonizing them? Yeah. In other words, they didn't want to hear that. They couldn't see who it was, but pretty much, hey, did y'all catch anything? In kind of a way that they, who's this guy? Who's he think he is? And they said, no, we didn't. They didn't fill in no details, though, did they? And Jesus said, hey, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in immediately. As soon as they threw the net in, fish jumping in the net. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that would have been John, said to Peter, see, Peter, they catch a fish, but Peter's still he's still not, I guess he's probably half asleep if he's been fishing all night. Because them fish are going to be making some noise getting into that boat, getting into that net. Because it says these were great fish. Just not, these ain't 2 or 4 pounders. These were great fish. Big fish. And John said, Peter, it's the Lord. It's Jesus. Just the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, it's the Lord. And when Peter heard that, he took off his coat and jumped in the water. See, they're about 100 yards from the shore. That's a pretty good trip. That's a pretty good ways. That's why they couldn't tell it was Jesus. That's 100 yards out there. He jumped into that water and cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land. It's about 200 cubits, which is about 100 yards, dragging the net with fishes. Them boys still ain't learned to throw out nets yet, have they? Still threw out the net and filled it up with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Now, here's something good. Once we get our glorified body, we ain't got to use the net anymore. Jesus didn't use no net. You remember when the devil tempted him in the wilderness and said, if you be the Son of God, he knew he was hungry. Turn this stone into bread. Jesus said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, that wasn't coming from God, that word. It was coming from the devil. See, that's how you need to know the difference. Jesus will get you something. The devil will take something from you. Jesus said, I ain't taking nothing from you. He knew better. Amen. He knew his Father's voice. Amen. He was tempted. But now, Jesus has his glorified body. It's okay to make a bread, make a fish just appear. Because he wasn't doing it for, he was doing it for his friends. Here they are. Amen? Amen? So, I mean, God's got supernatural power. Yeah, but it ain't just for me. It's for others. Yeah. It's a gift given. And he ain't going to do nothing. If the devil's wanting it, he ain't going to manifest nothing for him. Because, see, the devil's against God. He's not for God. He rebelled against God, his maker, his creator. So Jesus is there. He got the breakfast. Got the grill fired up, went camping, brought everything they need. They come to the seashore. They can smell. You ever been camping and you smell the grills fire up? And you know somebody's cooking some hamburgers and hot dogs. You can smell it. They could smell that fish cooking, and it was ready. It was ready. The mouth was watering. Let me get to this place. See, that's where people need to be hungry for the Word. If we'll minister and teach the Word right, and then let God demonstrate with His power, healings, and miracles, give God the place, operate in His grace, and He'll fill it up. Yes. He'll fill the boat up, right? Yes. See, we're after men and women, not fish. But we need to learn how to fish. We need to learn how to catch them, right? Yes. We need to learn how to catch them. We heard that from the evangelist a couple weeks ago. One woman with a word from God, with one man, can change a whole city. Colorado Springs, Karis Bible College. God wanted it, but he was working through people. So Jesus is it there, got the breakfast ready. And Jesus said, bring of the fish which you have now caught. I want a fresh fish too. Fresh fish sandwich. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes. And this, I mean, he was sweating, Simon, because this was a lot of weight. 153 fish. And for all, there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Now that's key right there. Because see, before Jesus told Peter what to do. He said nets, and Peter was disobedient, not completely, and he put net, and the net started to break. Well, Jesus didn't tell them how many nets. He just said, throw over. And what they threw over, see, Now that net didn't break because it's a miracle. God don't want you to lose nothing because they brought all that income to the shore. See, there was only seven of them, 153 fish between seven. You're going to have some left over. Amen. Yeah. In other words, you got some money left over. So we cleaning these and we taking them to the market. I don't know what the price was. We could probably figure it out if we go back in history. That's another blessing. It pays to wait on God. Yeah. If Jesus says wait, now just don't sit there and do nothing. Be ministering to other people. Yeah. You know, his wait doesn't mean you just sit there. It means don't get out of Jerusalem because I'm not finished. There's something else coming here. In other words, there's a process. There's a time in the ministry. Thank you, Lord. Great fish. And Jesus said unto them, I like that, come and dine. Come and dine. And none of the disciples asked him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? And Jesus then cometh and took the bread and gave them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that he appeared unto his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Jesus said, come and dine. Come and dine. Come and take part of this miracle. Amen. Come and dine. He didn't tell you to bring anything but you. He gave them the fish, cooked the fish for them, but he wants their fellowship. Come and dine. Yes. Come and dine at the master's table. Come and dine. So then, after they had eaten, dined with Jesus, now, we have fellowships, and I meant to mention that, you know, next month, and I'll get with Sherry and Reed, and we'll put a date to have our pastor appreciation and our Thanksgiving meal next month. Probably have to do it pretty early in the month, maybe second Sunday, but we get together, we fellowship and feed, but, you know, that's not the great importance. See, Jesus fed them, but now there's something greater here we're going to do. And you know, churches, about anything, if you have, even at your job, you say we're going to have a party and a gathering. Boy, you'll have everybody to show up when you're talking about eating and having some food. And Maudie and Boots is bringing some good old desserts that they usually cook. Boy, we'll have a crowd. But that's okay. Jesus fed them the natural. Now he needs to feed them the real meat. The real meat is he's going to bring them the word. Bringing them the word. And Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? Now, you could take that two ways. I'm going to say the fish. Because he was with seven of his good buddies. But I think Peter loved the fish. If you don't love what you're doing, you're in the wrong place as far as your work. Because your gift, the talents and God's put on the inside of you, they'll make room for you. So if you're at a job and it's just a job, that ain't where God, you're not where you're supposed to be. I believe Peter enjoyed fishing. And that's what he just done. They caught a bunch of fish, but Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And that word is agape. Unconditionally. Do you love me more than these? And Peter said, yeah, Lord, you know that I, but Peter didn't say agape. He said, you know, I filio. I love you like a brother. He couldn't say, I love you with unconditional love. He just couldn't say that. Jesus asked him again, feed my lambs. He told him, feed my lambs. And he said to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me, agape? Do you agape me, Peter? Do you love me unconditionally? Would you lay down your life for me, Peter? Would you sacrifice everything for me, Peter? That's the love he's talking about. And Peter said, Jesus, you know, I love you like a brother. I can't love you like that, Jesus. But he still said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. The title of this message is Feed My Sheep. That's what God's called me to do, is feed you something. Amen? Life. Give you life. And Jesus said the third time, remember the last time we talked about threes with Peter? Let me finish this. Jesus said the third time, Simon, son of Jonah. And then Jesus said, do you filio me? Peter, do you love me with as a brotherly love? And Peter said, Lord, and it says Peter was grieved. Jesus had to come down to his level now. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me like a brother? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know this, that I love thee. And Jesus said, didn't change it. Feed my sheep. The key to that is, remember Peter, before he got born again, before he got filled with the Holy Ghost and power, and he ain't filled yet. But he said, Lord, Jesus said, I got to go. I got to be crucified. I got to be put over to the Gentiles. Peter said, not so, Lord. Never, no man will touch you. I'll lay down, though these stumble, I'll lay down my life for you, Lord. But what happened? When they got Jesus, Peter denied him. See, Peter was, while he wasn't, didn't have the enemies around, he was bold, stepping out, Lord, But then he's seen the sword, he's seen the chain. See, but he'd been around Jesus. Jesus can handle it, man. You know, when you're around somebody, man, they're doing miracles. The crowd, Jesus wasn't, didn't nothing bother him. But when Jesus fulfilled his purpose and he submitted his plan, he submitted God's plan, and he surrendered himself to the enemy, Peter was like, whoa, man, what's happening? What is Jesus doing? And he got into fear. And then he denied the Lord because he knew, man, if I say I knew Jesus, they're gonna chain me up. They're going to take me and beat me. But there's a lesson in this. There's a good lesson in this, being a disciple. Jesus never gave up on Peter. But see, the spirit, the flesh can't comprehend the things of the Spirit. That's called God's mercy. But see, Jesus picked Peter. And he prayed, and God told him, said, you pick him. He picked the 12, and God said, pick him. And then, now, after Jesus was crucified, beaten, whipped, Peter saw all this. And he, think about it, he, man, I denied him. I denied my Lord. But Jesus went to the cross. But then on the third day, he rose from the dead, appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. And she couldn't contain herself. Well, actually, I got to take you back before then. She was the first one that came to the tomb. And she looked in. She was expecting she was going to put perfume on the body. The body wasn't there. Man, she was, somebody stolen the Lord. Man, she was upset. You get a woman upset. The Bible says if you catch a brawling woman, you better get yourself on the corner of a housetop. Don't even get near her. That's the attitude she had. Somebody has taken the Lord. Where's he at? She came out with her boxing gloves on. Where is, who's taking his body? And she ran to tell the disciples, I got to get some help. Where's he at? So John, Peter and John, help me. Let's see. John outran Peter. John got there first. John came to the tomb first. He looked in. But he didn't go in. He looked in, but he didn't step in. Peter, here come Peter. Get out the way, John. Peter went in the tomb. Saw the napkin. Saw. He's like, whoa, she told the story. She told the right story. Peter don't know what's going on. Man, they're going to get a Calvary together, you know, Peter. And they go back to get the other disciples. And then Mary starts weeping. And she still has, Peter didn't, John didn't help her. They just come and just witness and they didn't help her. They didn't ran off. I'm going to find his body. And then she turned and she saw Jesus. But she thought it was a gardener. See, he's got his glorified body. He's different. That body has been raised from death unto life. And she was on him. Yeah. Have you taken his body? Boy, somebody else showed up. She ready to rag on him. She was clinging unto him. She wanted to know, but then Jesus said, Mary. And she's like, and when he said her name, it's the way he said her name. See, it's the word of God that's going to change you. It's not the physical appearance, but it's the word. It's the words. We're supposed to minister grace to everybody that hears our voice. They know when you're not giving grace. You know the tones of their voice. He said, Mary. She said, teacher. Man, she had that supernatural peace hit her. Ooh, shalom. Hit her like a blanket. But she couldn't see Jesus. He was a spiritual body now. He was a glorified body. The physical couldn't see Jesus that way. The Bible says the spiritual man, he can't understand. The natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit because they're spiritually discerned. You got to have the Spirit of God to even understand it, to see it. But it was His voice. It was the Word. See, the Word is what is the difference. The Word is what identifies us with Christ. It's the Word of God.
Yeah.
And after that, she was on fire. She went back and said, I have seen the Lord.
Yeah.
I have seen Him. But they wasn't sure. See, they're still trying to figure all this stuff out. They haven't got the Spirit yet to know what's going on. They got the Word Jesus has told them, but they can't understand all this yet. Can't understand all this yet. But Peter's thinking about, well, I denied Him, I denied Him, I denied Him, I denied Him. Could this be true? Could this be true? See, Peter was not feeling good about everything he denied the Lord. But Jesus knew the end from the beginning. He knew Peter. He knew his heart. And what happened there, there's a transition that took place. Peter learned something. He learned when Jesus was on that seashore. Jesus already appeared to him twice. He learned how to humble himself. See, Peter knew he was weak in the flesh. No longer did he just say, I can do all things. See, that was wrong. That was pride. But then when the real test came, he ran and hid like Adam did behind a tree. No. But see, he learned humility in that. When Jesus asked him this time, Peter, do you agape me? Peter said, I've been through this test one time. You ain't getting me this. See, he knew his limitations. He said, Jesus, I can't. He learned from that. I can't. But Jesus knew he could. He just wanted to, you know, he wanted to meet him where he was, and he came down there and met him. But see, Jesus knew the day of Pentecost was coming. Hey, it's coming. The day of Pentecost was coming. But he saw the change in Peter. And he saw that change. And it would go on in the story. There's a change coming. Somebody talked about change in the season. Brenda talked about that change, how beautiful. See, change, if you let God can change you, is beautiful. He'll give you beauty for ashes. Amen. And we're not talking about sickness and disease in your life. We're talking about just admit to God your weakness there, and He'll turn that weakness into beauty. Amen. He'll give you the ability to do something that you, in your flesh, there's no way I can do this. He'll come down there and He'll meet you. See, God doesn't, He's not this taskmaster that if you can't do this for me, get away from me. No, He comes down to your level. And He feeds you. Come and dine with me. Come and sit at the feet of Jesus. That's where Mary was. Why did Jesus appear to her? She was the first one that saw Him. He knew her heart. Man, she came and she stayed at His feet. Amen? God's no respecter of persons, male or female, right? You're rewarded by your obedience to Him. Man, she got that testimony. She was the first one to see the risen Lord. Out of whom He cast how many devils? A bunch of them. He cast a bunch of devils out of her. Look at her reward. Amen. Be the first to see the risen Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Where'd I get to? I just got lost in that moment. And feed my sheep. You're hungry. I'm going to feed you. Amen. So stay hungry here. Amen. Don't never get satisfied with where you are. Amen. Don't get satisfied with where you are. That's called contentment. Now, you're supposed to be content with what you have, but don't be satisfied. You know, thank God for what you have, but there's somebody else that don't have what you have. So don't get settled there. Jesus, at one time, when He was preaching the gospel, and man, the crowds were gathered, He healed everybody, and He tried to get to the wilderness. He tried to get away and kind of spend some time, and they kept following Him. And Jesus said, hey, guys, I got other cities I got to go to. In other words, they were ready to make Him king right there. He says, you don't understand. There's other places that need to see and hear this great gospel that He's bringing. He just couldn't stay at one place. You know, travel. God's called us to go travel and teach people faith. I'm waiting on the Lord to open up the doors. I see, don't go kicking the door down. Let God open the door. Amen. You go kicking the door down, they probably kick you out. Amen. They're not ready for me yet. God's still working on them, right? God's got to work, open up the doors. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going fishing. I'm getting ready. I'm going fishing. Who won't go with me? I got one hand back there. Now, all you guys can't go. Somebody got to stay here at the storehouse. But God says, I'm going fishing. I'm going to go catch some fish. I'm going to teach them how to fish. Teach them how to lay hands on the sick. Teach them about faith. Faith in God. Not my faith. Faith in God. If you're relying on my faith, that's just natural faith. But God gives you, He has given you the measure of His faith. Everybody has the same measure. I don't have greater faith. I might be using my faith more than you. That's what makes it greater. But God said He's given to every man the measure of faith. You have the same faith that Jesus has. Speak to your fish. Speak to your net. Amen. If you're not filling up the net, we're not listening quite right. We're not saying something quite right. Amen. Because God says He wants us blessed. Hey, I'm talking to myself. I still areas. I need supernatural change.
Yes.
So I can go do what God's called me to do. Yeah. I don't have a love problem. I've got a knowledge problem. I just don't know something yet. Yeah. I don't know it all yet. But I know who does. Yeah. We overcome. We're overcomers.
Yeah.
We are overcomers. All right, we're getting close to the end here. Getting close to the end of this fishing story. Feed my sheep. Peter was grieved. And Jesus said that third time, Lord, Peter said, Lord, You know all things. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. I ain't changed my mind about You, Peter. Verily, verily, Peter, Jesus said, when you were young, we talked about this, I didn't plan to say it when I was young, but there it is. When you were young, God saw you when you were young. He knew where you were going to be when you're old. He knew what you was going to serve Him and do. He knew when you was going to get born again. He knew the devil and all his devices, but God never gives up on us. He's got a plan for us, and he's staying after us. And that doesn't mean He's just making, He's getting in our lives. No, He is trying to get us to turn to Him, putting people across our path, telling people how much God loves you. He's got something good for you. And if that ain't the story of the gospel you heard, you don't need to be around those people. God is for you. You need to get last week's message. He's for you. And He has something for you. He's got good stuff for us. Amen? Jackie and Randy, I thank God, when Tim was down, they brought us and they fed us at their house. Fed the man of God and fed me and my family. Come and dine at Randy and Jackie's house. I said, yes. And see, that's a blessing. They're doing what, and I'll go ahead and tell this because she told me, They've got that room for the minister to stay. They've made a place at their house for the man of God, woman of God, whoever comes to hear. Or their door, their house is opened up for God's people. And see, God's going to bless that. It's already blessed. And God's going to keep working things in your life because, see, they're keeping God first. And that's just a blessing. See, that's the gifts God is bringing. God's setting things in order here.
Amen.
He's setting things in order for great ministry. And it starts, see, don't leave. God needs us all. Amen.
Yeah.
So go get the other ones. Go fishing. It's time for you to go fishing. Amen. There's some more ministry that needs to come in here. Some more foundation needs to get set so we can fill up the boats. Amen. It's going to take more than just seven.
Yeah.
It's going to take more than seven. Yeah. Remember those 7-Eleven store? 7-Eleven? Praise God. You know, when Judas, he decided he was going to betray the Lord. There was another position he filled. God put another person in that position. See, God wants His people free. And it's going to take free people to get His people free. Amen. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm saying you're free. Jesus says you're free. You're free. He's telling Peter, you're free, Peter. You're free from that condemnation. See, Peter was under condemnation. He remembered he denied the Lord, but Jesus, he done forgot it. Feed my sheep. Peter's thinking, I denied You, Lord. Feed my sheep. See, what is going on? Jesus is restoring Peter.
Yes.
He's restoring him. See, God is always about restoration. He don't care how bad you messed it up. He cares about you. He loves you. Amen. And he's there to feed you, and bless you, and build you up. Amen. He's a builder. Feed my sheep. I tell you, when you were young, Peter, thou girdest thyself and walks whether thou wouldest. In other words, that was kind of doing what you want to do, Peter, when you were young. Just doing what you want to do. But when thou art old, and that's sometimes it's good getting old if you don't know Jesus when you're young. Don't wait that long. Don't wait until you get older to know Jesus. Get with him now. Amen. I wish I'd have knew Jesus in my younger days. Had I been born again when I was younger. Thou shalt, but Jesus is telling Peter, you're going to stretch out thy hands and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not. Jesus spoke this signifying by what death Peter would glorify God. Jesus has got confidence in Peter that to your death, you'll never deny me again. You're going to go out here. He saw him on Pentecost preaching the gospel. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. He called him, first thing he said, follow me. He hadn't changed. When God says you can do it, you can do it. Just follow me, follow God. Yeah. Don't follow your pastor unless he's following Jesus. Amen? Amen. And if I fall down, you help me get up. Amen? Because the devil's going to try to knock me down. Yeah. But the Bible says a righteous man shall fall 7 times, and he'll get up. Amen? Amen. He'll get up. Yep. He'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, have him a cup of coffee and a piece of cake, and read a little bit and go back to bed. I say, Lord, I'm going back to sleep. He said, okay, I'll give you what to say. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. I told Kelsey this morning, I said, I didn't get an outline. I was up at 4, had my coffee and cake, and I went to bed. I didn't have an outline. She said, well, praise God. Something's good coming. She got faith in God. Yeah. Don't put your faith in your ability. Put your faith in his availability, and he'll give you his ability. Amen. But just be willing. Just give him what you have. You might not be a fisherman. You might not be a pastor in the fivefold ministry, but you got Jesus. And he's got confidence in you. Amen? He's got confidence in you. Come and dine. I'm not going to tell you how you're going to, I'm not going to say he's going to tell you how this is how you're going to enjoy, this is how you're going to be crucified in your life. I'm not saying. But Peter, that was something Jesus needed to show him. I think it must have been something that was on Peter's heart. He said, Lord, I denied you. How could I ever make things right? And Jesus said, this is the way you're going to preach the gospel, and this is how you're going to die. And showed him all this stuff. And you better be careful how you pray, because there might be some things you don't want to know. But this is something Jesus revealed to Peter. I think it was a blessing to him that I am going to be able to sacrifice my life for you. I mean, to Peter, that's probably what lit the fire. Praise God. Because he was probably thinking through that denial, how can I ever make this up to the Lord? Be a martyr. See, that was probably Peter's passion. But I'm ready. If I need to, I'll lay it down. And Jesus knew it is going to take. If you're going to be as bold as you were in the flesh, in the spirit, it's going to cost you your life. And it did. Not everybody's going to be a martyr, but that one did. But praise God. The Bible talks about when Peter would walk around preaching gospel, the shadow, people fell underneath his shadow and got healed. Praise God. I want to get there. Not me, Christ in me. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy is following me. It must be the shadow. Goodness and mercy. Whoop, look out, Larry. Whoop, goodness and mercy right there. It's following you. That was Peter's shadow. What are you going to do with yours? Where are you going to cast your shadow? Amen. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. When the sun hits you, you cast a shadow. Jesus. See, we all got shadows to cast. Cast somebody healing, deliverance, encouragement. Tell them how beautiful a day is, can change. Somebody might not be thinking this day is so beautiful. And they'll ask you, well, why do you say it's so beautiful? And then you got a testimony. And then you cast God's shadow on them, and they get healed, they get delivered, they get born again. You give a testimony at work, people write you a little letter, say, that minister, if it's one person, it's worth 33 years. Jesus gave his life. Young, he left young, 30, but it was fulfilled perfectly. Every jot and every tittle. Because if it wouldn't have, they wouldn't have been able to crucify him because he gave his life.
Yes.
Nobody took it.
Amen.
God gave. Amen? He's given us precious promises in his word.
Yes.
It's time for us to cast a shadow.
Yes.
Amen. Now you might think, well, a shadow has darkness in it. Not if God, not if it's God. That shadow's got healing in it.
Yes.
Now in the Bible says in heaven there's no in God there's no shadow of turning. There's no darkness in heaven. But we're not there yet. Physically, the kingdom of heaven is in us. So if I'm casting a shadow and if it's coming from me, it's coming from Jesus, there's healing in that thing. Amen?
Yes.
It's you're carrying God's miracles. Singing, walking, fishing. Amen? Hey, it paid Peter's taxes one time, didn't it?
Yep.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I think we're going to unhook right there. I think it's time to clean the nets. Amen? I think we caught a mess of fish today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Next week, Lewis is going to bring you his fishing story. Because I'm going to Orlando. I'm driving Miss Sherry. I'm driving Miss Sherry. I'm going to pray to the Lord she has deep sleep, good sleep. Now, she is a good companion. She makes sure that I do the speed limit constantly. That's bad I talk about her when she's not here. Because if she's here, I wouldn't be looking over there because I know what kind of look she'd be getting. She don't wear a watch. You know, pastor's wife shouldn't wear a watch, should we, Patsy? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.